Senator will please come to order. Chief Clerk, call the roll.
Roll call for Wednesday, February 1st. Agar.
Present.
Anderson.
Here.
Anselmi Dalton.
Here.
Baldwin. Barnard.
Here.
Boner.
Here.
Bouchard.
Here.
Burns.
Here.
Case.
Present.
Christensen.
Here.
Coe.
Here.
Dockstetter.
Here.
Driscoll.
Here.
Ellis.
Here.
Emmerich.
Here.
Hastert.
Here.
Hicks.
Here.
Kinski.
Here.
Landon.
Here.
Meyer.
Here.
Moniz.
Here.
Nethercott. Pappas.
Here.
Perkins.
Here.
Peterson.
Here.
Rothfuss.
Here.
Scott.
Here.
Von Platern.
Here.
Wasserberger.
Here.
President Bebout.
Here.
30 present.
Prayer this morning by our own Senator Bernard. Please rise.
It's on.
Please join me in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we are grateful this day, on the 17th day of this session, that we can meet here in love and friendship. Father, we are grateful for thy many blessings. We're thankful for our health and strength and ask that it might continue with us throughout this session. Father, we're thankful for this great state and for the wonderful people who live here, and we ask a blessing on them. We're grateful, Father, for the staff that attends our needs and helps us to do our job better. Please bless them also. Father, grateful for the freedoms that we enjoy in this country and pray that we might always be vigilant and try to protect those freedoms. Father, we ask a blessing on our families, on our wives and husbands and children and grandchildren and loved ones, that they might be protected and strengthened in our absence. Father, help us to maintain while we're here the highest standards of civility, of ethics, and congeniality. Help us be happy, consistent, and help us to do thy will while we're here. Bless the leadership of our Senate that they might have inspiration and guidance, and bless the leadership of our nation that they too might be guided. Father, again, we thank thee for our blessings, and ask thee for thy help and spirit this day, in the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. Please join me in the pledge. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Senator Wasserberger, before you leave your chair, do you have an update on our former president? I have one. I think you probably do. You have privilege of the floor. Would you like to share it with us?
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator Nicholas is doing much better today. He's talking, and he's the good senator.
Wait a minute.
From Fremont.
He's talking? That's
Fremont
scary.
Fremont County over there said he's full of bile. He is full of bile, and that's absolutely a great sign. But we're not out of the woods yet. Possibility of rejecting the organ could happen at any time. So our prayers are still with them, and so we just hope for the best for him and Karen.
Thank you, Senator. Reading correction, approval of the journal. Will the reading clerk please read the journal committee report?
Mr. President, your Journal Committee reports that the Journal of January 31, 2017 has been read and recommends that it be approved. Senator Bouchard, Chairman.
Any objections? Being none, the report is adopted. Doctor for the day is Dr. Mahalia Marcotte or Marcotte. I'm not sure how you pronounce that. She's from the University of Wyoming Family Medicine in Cheyenne. We have a nurse today as well, Christina Brewer, Cheyenne Regional Medical Center. I don't see them back there, but they're here. Today in Wyoming history, in 1889, running water was supplied to Buffalo for the first time. We probably didn't have a select water committee then or Wyoming Water Development Commission either. 1889. Today is day 17 of a proposed 37-day session. I'm reminding all of you tomorrow is the last day for bills to be reported out of committee. No, that's not correct. Time on. Time out. Yeah, tomorrow's the last day for bills to report out of committee. Out of committee in the House of Origin. Friday is the last day for committee of the whole. Messages from the House.
From the House of Representatives, January 31, 2017. Message number 221. Mr. President, the House adopted the Committee of the Whole report failing the bills listed below by the votes indicated. House Bill number 140, minimum wage, ayes 20, noes 40. Message number 222, House Bill number 215, drug-induced infant endangerment, ayes 14, noes 45, excused 1. Signed, Wendy Harding, House Chief Clerk.
That's it. With their order of business, introduction, reading, and reference of House bills. House Bill 111, first reading of the House bill.
House Bill 111, County Collective Accounts, sponsored by Representative Barlow, passed the House, ayes 57, excused 3.
House Bill 111 shall be referred to Committee Number 10, Labor. House Bill 119, first reading of the House bill.
House Bill 119, Engrossed, Senior Citizen District's Use of Revenues, sponsored by Representative Kirkbride, passed the House, ayes 58, excused 2.
House Bill 119 will be referred to Committee Number 3, Revenue. House Bill 211, first reading of the House bill.
House Bill 211, Developmental Preschool Payment Calculations Amendments, sponsored by Representative Larson, passed the House, ayes 60.
House Bill number 211 will be referred to Committee number 10, Labor. House Bill 163, first reading of the House bill.
House Bill 163, Engrossed, Elections Recount Deposits, sponsored by Representative Northrop, passed the House, ayes 37, noes 23.
House Bill 163 will be referred to Committee number 7, Corporations. House Bill 165, first reading of the House bill.
House Bill 165, Engrossed, Acupuncture Practice Act, sponsored by Representative Barlow, passed the House, ayes 47, noes 13.
House Bill 165, referred to Committee Number 7, Corporations. House Bill 61, first reading of the House bill.
House Bill 61, Collection of Antlers and Horns, sponsored by Representative Clausen, passed the House, ayes 58, noes 2.
House Bill 61, referred to Committee Number 6, Travel. House Bill 47, first reading of the House bill.
House Bill 47, Water Rights Procedures, sponsored by Representative Barlow. Passed the House, ayes 58, noes 2.
House Bill 47, referred to Committee Number 5, Agriculture. House Bill 118, first reading of the House bill.
House Bill 118, Purchase of Water Rights and Facilities, sponsored by the Water Committee. Passed the House, ayes 60.
House Bill 118 will refer to Committee Number 5, Agriculture. House Bill 129, first reading of the House bill.
House Bill 129, Food Freedom Act Amendments, sponsored by Representative Lindholm. Passed the House, ayes 60.
House Bill 129, referred to Committee Number 5, Agriculture. House Bill 139, first reading of the House bill.
House Bill 139, School Finance Court-Ordered Placement, sponsored by Representative Northrop. Passed the House, ayes 60.
House Bill 139, referred to Committee Number 4, Education. House Bill 190, first reading of the House bill.
House Bill 190, Hathaway Reserve Account, sponsored by Representative Harshman, passed the House, ayes 56, noes 4.
House Bill 190, referred to Committee Number 4, Education. House Bill 123, first reading of the House bill.
House Bill 123, Engrossed, Probate Estates of Non-Residents, sponsored by Representative Greer, passed the House, ayes 60.
House Bill 123 be referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. House Bill 124, first reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 124, engrossed, Uniform Trust Code Amendments, sponsored by Representative Greer, passed the House, ayes 60.
House Bill 124, referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. House Bill 125, first reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 125, engrossed, Sealing of Trust Documents, sponsored by Representative Greer, passed the House, ayes 59, Conflict 1.
House Bill 125 will be referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. House Bill 144, first reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 144, New Trial Based on Actual Innocence, sponsored by Representative Pelkey, passed the House, ayes 60.
House Bill 144 be referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. And House Bill 188, first reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 188, District Court Filing Fees 2, sponsored by Representative Pownall, passed the House, ayes 48, noes 12.
House Bill 188 will refer to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. Reports from standing committees.
February 1, 2017, Mr. President, your committee number 5, to whom was referred Senate File 123, School Nutrition Pilot Project, respectfully reports same back to the Senate with a recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Senators Barnard, Emmerich, Hicks, Meyer, and Moniz, Senator Hicks, Chairman. Mr. President, your committee number 1, to whom was referred House Bill 17, engrossed, Adult Protective Orders Time Limit Extension, respectfully reports same back to the Senate with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Senators Anselmi Dalton, Christensen, Hicks, and Nethercott, excused, Senator Kinski, Senator Christensen, Chairman. Mr. President, your committee number 1, to whom was referred House Bill 16, Small Claims Appearance Fee, respectfully reports same back to the Senate with a recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Senators Anselmi Dalton, Christensen, Hicks, and Nethercott, excused, Senator Kinski, Senator Christensen, Chairman. Mr. President, your committee number 10, to whom was referred House Bill 71, engrossed, Unemployment Insurance Electronic Communications, respectfully reports same back to the Senate with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Senators Baldwin, Boner, Bouchard, Peterson, and Scott. Senator Scott, Chairman. Mr. President, your committee number 10, to whom was referred House Bill 83, Healthcare Facility Licensing Bed Count Limit Exemption, respectfully reports same back to the Senate with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Senators Baldwin, Boner, Bouchard, Peterson, and Scott. Senator Scott, Chairman. Mr. President, your committee number 5, to whom is referred Senate File 147, Livestock Inspections and Investigators, respectfully reports same back to the Senate with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Ayes, Senators Barnard, Emmerich, Hicks, Meyer, and Moniz, Senator Hicks, Chairman.
Bill on second reading. Senate File 57, second reading of the Senate File.
Senate File 57, Motor Vehicle Franchises Exception.
Senate File 57, having read 2 separate times the question of this, shall the bill be read a third time, hearing no objections? So ordered. Senate File 117, second reading of the Senate File.
Senate File 117, Nationwide Multi-State Licensing System Collection Agencies.
Senate File 117, having read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the Senate File be read a third time, hearing no objections? It is so ordered. Senate File 134, second reading of the Senate File.
Senate File 134, School Finance Class Size Waivers.
Senate File 134, having read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the Senate File be read a third time, hearing no objections? It is so ordered. Senate File 142, first reading or second reading of the Senate File.
Senate File 142, Community Mental Health Payment Reform 2.
We have an amendment. Will the reading clerk please read that amendment in?
Senate File 142, second reading amendment number 1, page 2, line 15.
Senator Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would move second reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 142. and ask for the body's favorable consideration. Basically, fellow senators, on page 2, line 15, we need to recognize the fact that there are other institutions besides just the state mental hospital that receive these involuntary commitments. So we simply add the words "and other designated hospitals." There are local hospitals that have been designated to receive these type of patients, and we wanted to include them in this list as well. So that's the amendment, Mr. President.
Further discussion? Further discussion? We're voting on second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 142. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 142 has passed. Senate File 142, having read two separate times. There's another amendment. Excuse me. Would you, reading clerk, please read in the second reading amendment.
Second reading amendment number 2, page 4, line 22.
Senator Landon.
Mr. President, thank you. I would move second reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 142 and ask for the body's favorable consideration. Mr. President, I really commend the work on this bill and throughout all the efforts that the Labor and Health Committee has put in on some really, really tough issues. As I read down through the bottom of page 4, I would take you to lines 22 and 23 for this amendment, fellow senators. I kept coming back to that language, which reads right now, Mr. President, that we're going to allow the Department of Health 25% of the funds appropriated by the legislature, plus any other funds the department may transfer under existing law for that purpose. I kept coming back to that language, and it was giving me heartburn, fellow senators. There's an awful lot of flexibility and leeway that we give this particular department. My concern rests with all of the conversations that we're having at the other end of the hall, and we will bring those conversations to you next week. Mr. President, we have tried to strike a very, very careful and delicate balance on some of these health agency programs. What I worry about with this language is quite simply that with increased flex authority, the director could literally reach in there and distribute funds out of programs that are delicately balanced right now. I'm particularly worried about our mental health and substance abuse centers, which I think, in fact, we had testimony at the other end of the hall, Mr. President, that we're frankly in danger of perhaps losing a couple of those. So all this does is just tighten that language a little bit, allows the department to use the 25% as stated. It just puts a little bit of a sideboard there and says, let's not be reaching into some of these funds that we've carefully budgeted for other purposes. Thank you, Mr. President. I would encourage support of the amendment.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, I've got some reservations about this amendment. Frankly, the language was put in the bill because we discovered the department was already doing this on a modest scale. And I think the problem is that under existing law, this department can change its appropriation around pretty much any way it wants to and does do that. And I think the remedy is not to change this language, but to start restricting their ability to modify appropriations after they've left. Frankly, I've been for some time in the feeling that what we put in the budget for the health department and its various line items is mostly fiction, and they can and do change it radically after we leave, and we have had considerable troubles over there because of that. I think the remedy for that is in the what the budget bill and our other statutes allow in terms of flexibility in this department. And I'm not sure if you take it out, it's going to make any difference to them. I think they're going to do it anyhow. But the provision here is just a recognition of what's already going on. So vote it up, vote it down, Mr. President. I don't think it makes much difference here, but I do think what we've seen so far illustrates a problem that we have on quite a scale in the health department and in the budgeting for it. And the appropriate time to discuss that, Mr. President, is probably in the budget.
Senator Rothfuss.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have a question for the sponsor, particularly in light of the discussion from the Tall Center from Natrona County. Let's say for the sake of argument that this does work and that the department feels that they are entirely constrained to this 25% that we're discussing on line 20 in paragraph B, and they run out of money. So they don't have any additional funds, but they need to accomplish something. And they're following this, then what happens next with trying to implement paragraph A if we assumed that this actually worked, as I believe the sponsor intends? And I'm curious to know how that would play out.
Further discussion before the sponsor speaks for his second time. Further discussion. Senator Landon, for your second time.
Thank you, Mr. President. I appreciate the thoughts from the chairman of the Labor Committee, and to try to answer the question that was just posed, it sounds like the department has all the ability that it needs to do whatever it needs to do. Quite frankly, I understand where the chairman's coming from, Mr. President, that because of that authority that they've already been exercising, this probably won't do any good. I would submit to you that this is the time that we begin to direct that department that we want to sideboard this a little bit. We don't want just any and all budgets at jeopardy on the decisions of the director without some guidance from this body. And we are the ones that set those budgets. We're going to go to work on that. I agree with the director, but with the chairman of labor. We've got work to do probably through the budget process. This is a shot across the bow. I think it's the right thing to do to tighten this up. Thank you, Mr. President.
We're voting on second reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 142. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no?
No.
I'll call for the division. All in favor, please stand. All opposed, please stand. That amendment has failed. Senate File 142, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the amended Senate File be read a 3rd time? Hear no objections. It is so ordered. Senate File 150, second reading of the Senate File.
Senate File 150, long-acting reversible contraception.
Senate File 150, having read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the Senate File be read a 3rd time? Hearing no objections. It is so ordered. What's that? Yeah, we did. Senate File 166, second reading of the Senate File.
Senate File 166, state-funded capital construction.
Senate File 166, having read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the Senate File be read a 3rd time? Hear no objections. It is so ordered. Senator Hicks.
Mr. President, Senate File 123 has an appropriation, and I would ask that be re-referred to the Appropriations Committee.
Without objection, Senate File 123 has been re-referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. Senator Peterson.
As well, Senate File 131 has an appropriation, and I see that's on the schedule for Committee of the Whole today, but that needs to be re-referred to Appropriations.
Without objection...
Senate File 131, it is the, State Revenues and Expenditures Review.
Senate File 131, without objection, will be referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. Any other re-referrals or referrals? Okay. Mr. Majority Leader, do you have a consent list?
Well, Mr. President,
Of course I have a consent list. Mr. President, I move third reading consent list, which is as follows. Senate File 89, Presumptive Disability for Firefighters. Senator 91, Small Water Projects. Senate File 115, Malicious Cruelty to Animals. Senate File 118, Freedom Food Act, Sales Locations. Senate File 122, Water Development Amendments. Senate File 126, Guides and Outfitters, Penalties. Senate File 129, Sexual Assault, School Employee. Senate File 132, Endow Initiative. Senate File 151, Ignition Interlock. Senate File 154, Sex Offender Registration Accessories. Senate File 158, Depositions by Telephone. And Senate File 167, Workers' Compensation, Rate Discount, Modification, and Credit.
Would any senators like to remove any of the Senate files from the consent list? Senator Hicks.
Senate File 126, Guides and Outfitters Penalties.
Okay. Any others? Senator Meyer?
Senate File 89.
Senate File 89 has been removed. Any others? Having read three separate times, the question is, shall these bills pass the Senate? Senate File 91, Small Water Project. Senate File 115, Malicious Cruelty to Animals. Senate File 118, Food Freedom Act Sales Location. Senate File 122, Water Development Amendment. Senate File 129, Sexual Assault School Employees. Senate File 132, Endow Initiative. Senate File 151, Ignition Interlock. Senate File 154, Sex Offender Registration Accessories. Senate File 158, Depositions by Telephone, and Senate File 167, Workers' Compensation, Rate Discount, Modification, and Credit. Will the Chief Clerk please call the roll for the consent list?
On the consent list, Agar.
Aye.
Anderson.
Aye.
Anselmi Dalton.
Aye.
Baldwin. Barnard.
Aye.
Boner.
Aye.
Bouchard. Burns,
aye.
Case,
aye.
Christensen,
aye.
Coe,
aye.
Dockstetter,
aye.
Driscoll,
aye.
Ellis,
aye.
Emmerich,
aye.
Hastert,
aye.
Hicks,
aye.
Kinski,
aye.
Landon,
aye.
Meyer,
aye.
Moniz,
aye.
Nethercott,
aye.
Pappas,
aye.
Perkins,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Rothfuss,
aye.
Scott,
aye.
Von Fladern,
aye.
Wasserberger,
aye.
President Bebout.
Aye.
On the consent list, 30 aye. Senate File 91, are there any changes?
Ellis,
aye to no. Closing vote. Kinski, aye to no. Burns, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 91, 27 aye, 3 no. Senate File 115, are there any changes? Case, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 115, 29 aye, 1 no. Senate File 118, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 118, 30 aye. Senate File 122, are there any changes? Scott, aye to no. Kinski, aye to no.
Ellis,
aye to no. Closing vote.
Burns, aye
to no. Closing vote closed. Senate File 122, 26 aye. 4 no. Senate File 129, are there any changes? Case, aye to no.
Perkins, aye to no.
Rothfuss, aye to no.
Bebout, aye to no.
Bebout, aye to no. Closing vote.
Burns, aye to no.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 129, 25 aye, 5 no. Senate File 132, are there any changes? Scott, aye to no. Burns, aye to no. Anderson, aye to no. Bouchard, aye to no. Case, aye to no. Agar, aye to no. Meyer, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 132, 23 aye, 7 no. Senate File 151, are there any changes? Agar, aye to no. Case, aye to no.
Bouchard, aye to no.
Rothfuss, aye to no. Meyer, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 151, 25 aye, 5 no. Senate File 154, are there any changes? Case aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 154, 29 aye, 1 no. Senate File 158, are there any changes? Meyer, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 158, 29 aye, 1 no. Senate File 167, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 167, 30 aye.
Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, Senate File 91, Small Water Project, Senate File 115, Malicious Cruelty to Animals, Senate File 118, Food Freedom Act Sales Locations, Senate File 122, Water Development Amendments, Senate File 129, Sexual Assault School Employees, Senate File 132, Endow Initiative, Senate File 151, Ignition Interlock, Senate File 154, Sex Offender Registration Accessories, Senate File 158, Depositions by Telephone, and Senate File 167, Workers' Compensation Rate Discount Modification and Credit, have passed the Senate. Senate File 89. Third reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 89, Presumptive Disability for Firefighters, sponsored by Senator Landon, an act relating to public health and safety.
Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I've got an amendment on this. I apologize to the body and the sponsor that it's not ready at this time. I ask that bill be laid back without objection.
Without objection, Senate File 189 will be laid back until third reading.
89.
Excuse me. Without objection, Senate File 89 will be laid back until third reading tomorrow. Senate File 126, third reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 126, Guides and Outfitters Penalties, sponsored by Senator Coe, an act relating to guides and outfitters.
Senator Hicks.
Mr. President, just a little explanation. The reason that I pulled this off is this goes back to the original bill. If you pull that out, the only thing that does is it imposes a potential of a jail fine up to 1 year. And let me explain, because it was actually my amendment in 2011 that pulled the jail time out of there. But as a consequence, is what we've had is some of the courts where there's been prosecutions associated for this violation, basically by, as the way I understand it, is explained to me, by pulling the prison time out of there, it precludes any judge for issuing any probation, where they would normally say 6 months sentence suspended, you're going to go on to probation. Without that jail time component in there, it doesn't allow them the tool to put people on probation. So that's an explanation as to why that pulled that off and why that jail time has come back on there. It's because it eliminates that tool from the courts. Vote it up, vote it down. Just wanted to make sure an explanation as to why that's in there.
Further discussion? You ready for the question? Senator Perkins.
Thank you, Mr. President. I do have a question for some of the folks on the sponsors of the bill. I've had some discussions about this, and what this is my understanding right now is ultimately if you practice guiding or outfitting without a license, this bill will now subject you to a jail sentence. And I understand the reasons why. There's lots of reasons for it. And going back and look, my understanding is if you practice medicine without a license, you can do a jail sentence. I'm not sure that if you practice accounting without a license, you have a jail sentence. I'm not sure if you practice law without a license, you're subject to a jail sentence. So I'm just wondering, how many professions, everybody knows, I mean, for you folks on the Corporations Committee, you guys deal with these practice acts all the time. If you do architecture without a license, you're in engineering without a license, are you subjected to jail time for that?
Senator Coe.
Well, Mr. President, I can't answer that question. I'm not sure. But I can tell you why we need this bill. You know, the outfitting industry is having a very difficult time, and a lot of it up in our country has to do, I think, with wolves. You know, they're moving elk around where they've never been before. And it's tough. But these people that are outfitters put their heart and soul into it. They struggle. And if you have a camp, for instance, on the forest, you pay a special use permit for that. They have a lot of fixed expenses. What this does is just put some teeth into it, because the way it is right now, illegal outfitters are showing up and they're doing their thing and paying their fine and going on about their business. It's just part of doing business. So by having a jail time in there, this does put some more teeth into it. I can't answer the question about it. You know, it's a high misdemeanor, I think, with up to 1 year in jail. And I honestly can't answer that, but I'd urge you to support the bill. I think it's needed. The outfitting industry is a vital part of some of the things that go on in recreation that are so important to this state. And so I'd ask that you support this bill.
Senator Case.
Chairman, I rise in opposition. Mr. President, I'm opposed to this bill. I mean, I frankly don't even understand why we license outfitters in the first place. I don't understand why people can't make decisions, hire their friends. You know, why do you have to have an outfitter to engage in certain things on public lands, some public lands that are the federal government's? I think it's wrong from the beginning to the end, and making more penalties for this. If you get your buddy to take you up in the mountains and go hunting, come on. Now, I even confess to having hired an illegal guide. But it wasn't, Mr. President, didn't have anything to do with outfitting. I was climbing the Grand Teton, and I paid my buddy's way to guide me up the mountain. That probably violated some law, but thankfully it was about 35 years ago when I was a much younger feller. But honestly, what is wrong with that kind of thing? I oppose this bill.
Further discussion. Senator Byrd.
Mr. President, members of the Senate. We need professional license guides because they meet a lot of qualifications. They have to make sure that they follow the fish and game rules. They have to make sure that the people that they guide have insurance. They have to meet standards of cleanliness for their camps. There's a lot of regulations for these people to protect innocent people from going out on a hunt and getting hurt. And so they have a huge investment in it. As far as the fees go, some of these outfitters who claim to be outfitters can charge upwards of $10,000. And so this fine here of $7,500 is really nothing to those people. They can go out on a hunt and have five hunters. They can make $50,000 in one hunt. That really takes a lot of money away from these professional outfitters. It's just not right.
Further discussion. Senator Christensen.
Mr. President, I just caution the body before you admit to crimes, think about changing the statute of limitations.
Are you speaking about the bill, Senator Christensen?
General comment, Mr. President.
Further discussion. Ready for the question? Senate File 126, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall Senate File 126 pass the Senate? Will the Chief Clerk please call the roll?
Agar?
Aye.
Aye. Anderson?
Aye.
Aye. Anselmi Dalton?
Aye.
Aye. Baldwin?
Aye.
Aye. Barnard?
Aye.
Aye. Boner?
Aye.
Aye. Bouchard?
No.
No. Burns?
Aye.
Aye. Case?
No.
No. Christensen?
Aye.
Aye. Coe?
Aye.
Dockstetter? Dockstetter, no. Driscoll?
Aye.
Aye. Ellis?
Aye.
Aye. Emmerich?
Aye.
Aye. Hastert?
Aye.
Aye. Hicks?
No.
No. Kinski?
Aye.
Aye. Landon?
Aye.
Aye. Meyer?
No.
Moniz?
Aye.
Aye. Nethercott?
Aye.
Pappas?
Aye.
Aye. Perkins?
No.
No. Peterson?
Aye.
Rothfuss?
No.
No. Scott?
Aye.
Aye. Von Platern?
Aye.
Aye. Wasserberger?
Aye.
Aye. President Bebout?
Aye.
Aye. Closing vote. Closing vote closed. 23 aye, 7 no.
Senate File 126 having received the affirmative vote of the majority member elected to the Senate, Senate File 126 has passed the Senate. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, that are you ready for order of the business consideration of bills on general file?
Yes.
Wait a minute.
Yes.
Are you out of order on that, Mr.
No,
Majority
I was
Floor
just,
Leader?
I'm sorry, I dropped that bell, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move that we resolve ourselves, the Senate resolve itself in the Committee of the Whole.
You heard the motion. All in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, no. Senator Driscoll.
There we go. And we're off.
Here's your water.
Emmerich.
For you.
I think I have it back out of appropriations.
This is all yours.
I think. I'll go check.
Here, wait.
The Committee of the Whole, please come to order. The first bill for our consideration is Senate File 127. Reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 127, Exterior Residential Storm Damage Repair Contracts, an act relating to consumer protection, sponsored by Senator Pappas. It was referred to Committee Number 9, which returned a committee recommendation that it do pass amended. Ayes, Senators Coe, Perkins, Rothfuss, and Von Flatern. No, Senator Anderson. Senator Von Flatern, Chairman.
Senator Rothfuss.
Mr. Chairman, may I have the privilege of the floor prior to going into this fine bill?
You may.
Mr. Chairman, I see outside of the fishbowl President Lori Nichols of the University of Wyoming. I'd like the Senate to welcome her. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Von Flattern.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move when the Committee of the Whole rises to report that it do so with a favorable recommendation of Senate File 127. There is a standing committee amendment. I ask that you read that in, please.
Will the reading clerk read the amendment?
Senate File 127, Standing Committee Amendment Number 1, page 2, line 7.
And, Mr. Chairman, I move the Standing Committee Number 1 to Amendment Number 1 to Senate File 127, and I ask you to call on Senator Pappas to explain this fine bill.
Senator Pappas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This bill is a consumer protection bill from exterior storm damage repair contracts, and so this bill is a bill intended to protect Wyoming homeowners. There was an extensive standing committee amendment in the committee. I think it was a good bill, and the committee made it even a better bill. But the amendment is a little difficult to run through, so what I've provided to you is a tracked-in changed. I've tracked in the change copy, so if you'll look in your red folder, you'll find a new copy of the bill with the amendment changes in the bill. So what I'll go through the bill and point out the changes as we go, and then we'll dispense with the amendment after I've actually gone through the entire bill, if that would be okay. All right. Let's move to page 2, where we start our section of definitions. This first, line 4, defines contractor, and again, this is only related to contractors that repair or replace roof, siding, or gutter systems. First change in the amendment was a change from roofing to roof to be consistent with the rest of the terminology in the bill. Another change that's in the amendment is on line 9 through 14. This was a definition that was added by committee, which is great because we do discuss emergency repairs within the bill, and so hence we now have a definition of emergency repairs. On to line 16, this is the definition of exterior storm damage and what it means. It was wind and hail. Another good add from the committee was wind, hail, or other weather-related events. And we also, in this amendment, include skylight systems. On to page 3, definition of residential buildings, and which are single or multiple family dwellings, but we also include ancillary buildings or structures, basically farm and ranch buildings. We want to make sure that they're covered. Line 5, definition of roof system. As we go to line 9, 40, 14, 702, these are the disclosures that are required. And so if you look at line 17, a disclosure of the business name needs to be disclosed. Line 19, whether the contractor has general liability insurance and any licensure required by the authority having jurisdiction. Again, that was changed from the original language in the bill. Not all authorities having jurisdiction necessarily have licensure, so that was added. Page 4. Beginning July 1st, 2017, the registration number for the jurisdiction for a contractor that holds a license, assuming that the authority having jurisdiction requires a license, shall appear in all contracts, bids, and advertisements. Again, another disclosure point. Going on, we have a section that contractors shall not do. So on page 8, contractors shall not, line 8, contractors shall not, go to line 11, advertise or promise to pay or rebate all or any portion of the insurance deductible as an inducement to the sale of goods or services. And the committee added, unless the payment, line 17, unless the payment, rebate, allowances, or discount is included in the contract, for the repair of external storm damage. So it's okay as long as it's made, as put into the contract. Line 20, contractor shall not pay any compensation directly or indirectly to any person associated with the property, again, unless disclosed by the consumer in writing. On to page 5, a contractor shall not accept compensation in exchange for allowing another contractor to use its business name. This is, we further put in that definition, or in that provision, for the purpose of misrepresenting the contractor's identity as a licensed contractor. Certainly, this does not prohibit partnerships or any subcontractor relationship. On to line 9, contractor shall not offer to exclusively represent, advertise to exclusively represent, or require by contract the right to exclusively represent any consumer with respect to any insurance claim or connection with exterior storm damage service. In other words, they are not representing the consumer just because they're the contractor. This was changed language. You see in page 15, it was worded slightly differently. And, again, better language by the committee. Line 20, another shall not. They shall not claim to be or act as an adjuster or an insurance consultant. On to page 6. These are the disclosure requirements. So the proposal shall disclose the following. Line 10, a precise description and location of all damage claimed. Line 13, a detailed description of and itemization of any emergency repairs that's already completed. And line 16, if damaged areas are excluded from the repair proposal, identification of those areas and any reason for their exclusion needs to be on the proposal. And then on page 7, the disclosure shall be made in writing and shall be included in the proposal. Further going on to 4012704, any contract shall also include the following: a copy of the repair proposal with the disclosures. Line 14, a disclosure that the consumer is responsible for payment for any work performed if the insurer should be denied payment of any part or loss. So that's making the consumer responsible of their payment required should the insurance company deny the claim. And then going on to 4012705, this whole section deals with the right to cancel the contract. So you'll see on page 8, the right to cancel the contract within 5 business days of the date in which the contract was entered into. And so for the next few pages, the original bill stated is 5 days to be able to cancel. The committee changed that to 10 days, both for the right to cancel the contract that was entered into, but also if you look at line 5, within 10 days, business days after the consumer has received notice in writing from the insurer that the claim has been denied. So the consumer has the right to cancel within 10 days, for any reason, and then also 10 days after they've received notice that the claim has been denied. So, and then the balance of that, this page and the rest of page 9, basically are the mechanics of cancellation. It requires written notice. It talks about the different forms, the electronic forms, the mailed forms, and how cancellation will proceed. At the bottom of, or at page 13, or page 9, line 13, requires that a notice of cancellation form be provided to each consumer. And so from 13 and the rest of the page 9 and on to page 10, all of that is the notice of cancellation language. And then the final page, page 11, there's private remedies. Any person who violates this article shall be subject to remedy provisions relating to unlawful trade and practices is in here. And another change by the committee is the effective date, which instead of immediately,
We thought it was prudent to give everybody the time to get their ducks in order, so it won't go into effect until July 1, 2017. So with those changes, I would did we move the amendment? We didn't move the amendment. Okay. I ask that we vote on the amendment and ask for your favorable consideration on the changes proposed by the Standing Committee Amendment 1.
You ready for the question? All those in favor of Senator Von Flattern's motion to adopt the Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to Senate File 127, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The motion to adopt Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to Senate File 127 is passed. We are back on the bill. Senator Pappas.
I do just want to point out there's a flyer in your box, a little colored chart of the United States. You'll look that 27 states have passed laws protecting storm victims from fraud. Montana and Wyoming are considering it this year, so you might want to just take a little quick peek at that. It's a little informative. So with that, I would urge your favorable consideration of Senate File 127.
Question. Oh. Are you ready for the question? All those in favor of Senator Pappas' motion.
Whoa. You got to throw something at him.
Yep. Yes, sir. Senator Scott. I am awake now.
Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I have a couple of questions here. First, this is an extensive regulatory scheme. My presumption is that regulatory schemes are a bad idea until it's proved that there's a real need for them. So I would like a little further explanation as to why we need the bill. Second, I would note on page 4, line 4, and I'm looking at the informal copy that was passed out, there's a violation of the drafting standards. We can deal with that on second reading. On page 4, lines 11 through 18, we're saying that the contractor cannot advertise or promise to pay a rebate all proportionally insurance deductible as an inducement. And then we turn around and say that's allowed if it's in the contract. Mr. Chairman, I have reservations about that particular provision. It seems to me the original provision saying we can't pay in or any portion of the insurance deductible is attempting to prevent the contractor and the insured from defrauding the insurance company, because you sign with an insurance contract, you've got a contract and it says there's so much of a deductible, meaning you've got to pay it and should pay it before the insurance kicks in. And now with the exception, we're aiding and abetting that fraud. And that's likely to increase insurance costs because it means the deductible potentially, if you collude with your repair person, your deductible is meaningless and doesn't get collected, and we lose any value in the inducement to be, Mr. Chairman, reasonable in making insurance claims, have the deductible have that effect. So I wonder about that, and I can think of some other professions where this particular thing is a real problem, and maybe we ought to spread this particular regulation some other places. But it looks to me like we've put a great big loophole in it so that you're encouraging people to collude in writing and defraud the insurance company. So, Mr. Chairman, I'm no great fan of insurance companies, but I don't think defrauding them is a good idea either. So I would like some comment on that particular point.
Senator Pappas.
Mr. Chairman, to the good senator from Bass Creek's first point on why we need this bill, again, it's a consumer protection bill. It affects communities after a great event, a hailstorm. We experience it here in our county a lot, where we will have some weather-related event that creates a lot of damage to property, and we'll end up getting fly-by-night contractors coming in from all over the country, all this bill does, it doesn't preclude them from coming in and doing work. What it does is it requires disclosures, it requires insurance, it requires licenses, it requires everything that we require of our local contractors. Doesn't preclude them from coming in. It just keeps us from it protects the folks in the community from being scammed by these companies. A lot of times, testimony in committee by the insurance industry did say that that a lot of times what they'll do, they'll come in and they'll sign all these people up, and there's clauses in their contracts that require them to pay up to 20% of the cost if there's cancellations, and we're just putting some consumer protection in here so that all the proposals that these fly-by-night contractors provide as a way of trying to scam the public, we can try to limit that. For instance, they may give you they'll give you a proposal that says roof repair, $27,000, and that's it on it. I mean, it doesn't tell you what the roof repair is, doesn't tell you what they've excluded, doesn't tell you if they're licensed, doesn't tell you anything. And so all we're doing is just adding a bit of extra protection in the advertising and the proposals that these contractors will give. And to your second point, that change was actually provided by the committee. I would actually ask one of the committee members discuss why they made that particular change.
Senator Von Flatern.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On the deductible and the rebates, which we had a room full of insurance people, so they didn't seem to object, but the fact is that on certain rebates, on certain shingles that you do buy, you get a rebate back from the factory. We didn't want to admit it. We didn't want to not allow you to have them. We also, on deductibles, we asked one of the insurance representatives, and he said that they would actually, were fine with that. I mean, he didn't stand up and say they're fine with that, but on the deductibles themselves, if you go with a longer, like a 50-year roof, you can get 50s and 25s and whatever. If you go with a 50-year roof, that they would have waived that anyway, so they know that they don't have to replace your roof so soon. But let me go back to the reason you asked about. I'm on my third roof now in about 20 years, and it's about 8 or 9 years in this state, and we had a hailstorm, which caused the reason to have this, and we had to replace the roof, but we probably had three other people, and I wanted to go with a local guy, and he was way overwhelmed, which is one of the reasons for this bill, is that you don't want to get in between the subcontractor and the contractor on your roof. They need the help. They need these people that do chase the storms. So this just guarantees that they have a contract, that they have a real subcontracting relationship with the roofing contractor, and when they leave town, you do have somebody you can grab and say, that shingle fell off on its own, or they didn't do that part of the roof correctly, would you redo it? So that was one of the reasons. What I was about to be a no vote on this bill was the fact that it does take a little more paperwork. They have to detail out what they're going to repair. So it did take a little more paperwork for the local contractors, should they get into this business as well. But what this narrowed it down to was storm events. So if you just want to replace your roof because it's old, or you have a tree limb that just decides to fall onto your roof, and it's not a storm event, you can do whatever you like. I mean, you can do the regular contract, or the guy can write you that bid that says $27,000 and I'm going to repair your roof. You can do whatever you like. But the fact of the rebate and the deductible was the insurance companies didn't seem to have a problem, plus the rebate on certain shingles that you can buy. And the way we narrowed this bill to be storm events only made sense to me, so I was an aye vote in committee.
You ready for the question? All those in favor of Senator Pappas's motion that when the committee of a whole rises to report it, do so with a favorable recommendation of Senate File 127, say aye.
Point of order.
Senator Von Flater.
It was my motion.
His motion.
Mr. Chairman.
I will start over again. Thank you. Are you ready for the question? All those in favor of Senator Von Flater's motion, when the committee of the whole rises to report it, do so with a favorable recommendation of Senate File 127, say aye.
Aye.
For the second time, it's passed. Senator Hastert, could you?
No.
All those opposed, no.
No.
Senator Hastert, could you? What? Senate File 127 has passed the Committee of the Whole.
Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 94. The reading clerk will please read the bill.
Senate File 94, Franchise Business Relationships, an act relating to employment, sponsored by Senator Driscoll, was referred to Committee Number 7, which returned a committee recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Senators Agar, Case, Nethercott, Pappas, and Scott, Senator Case, Chairman.
You heard a reading of the bill. What's your pleasure? Senator Case.
Chairman, I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with a due pass recommendation on Senate File 94, Franchise Business Relationships. There are no standing committee amendments, and I ask that you yield to the good senator from Devil's Tower.
Senator Driscoll.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. Senate File 94 is a bill that addresses a problem that started coming up recently from federal government, and also to strengthen our franchise laws in the state of Wyoming. I'll work through the bill and do a little explanation. Section 1 creates a new section in Statute 27.1.116 that business relationship between franchisors and franchisees, business relationship between franchisors and employees of franchisee. Romanette A, neither a franchisee or franchisee employee should be deemed an employee of the franchisor under purpose of this title unless otherwise agreed to in writing. Pretty simple deal that if they're not, clarifies that solidly. Romanette B on page 2, section shall not apply to a voluntary agreement between the United States Department of Labor and a franchisee. Once again, pretty clean. Romanette C on page 2, franchisee and franchisor, same definition set out in CFR 436.1. That's the federal law that explains how it was worked for years. What has happened on this is there's been a National Labor Relations Board had a decision, Browning versus Ferris, that weakened the franchisor-franchisee relationship. And for those of you that are familiar or not familiar, franchises are something that all of us deal with on a very steady basis. They're all your big-name companies that you deal with. I have an agreement myself. They're a very clearly defined written agreement by law that defines what they provide to you, which is often things like advertising, branding, some help in how to do your businesses, and specifically by law says that they are not your employees, you are not their employees. You have a clear line relationship that it is your business, that they're providing certain things to you. By moving this, codifying into our state law, this really makes this a bright line that you're not going to end up with lawsuits back and forth because of something that corporate has done to a franchisee or vice versa. It says that that local part of your business that you own is just that. That's your business, your employees are yours, and they represent you, not the federal law. And the same is back the other way. Nine states have enacted laws similar to this: Tennessee, Texas, Louisiana, Michigan, Wisconsin, Indiana, Georgia, and Oklahoma, and there's a bunch of others coming with it to react to this new law. Really doesn't affect you in any way other than for the legal profession, makes it really clear who's a franchisee, who's a franchisor, and what the rights are. With that, I'd stand for questions.
Any further discussion? Seeing none, are you ready for the question? All those in favor of Senator Case's motion, and when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with a favorable recommendation on Senate File 94, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Senate File 94 is passed Committee of the Whole.
The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 102. Reading clerk, read the bill.
Senate File 102, Board of County Commissioners Designee Zoning Certificates, an act relating to boards of county commissioners, sponsored by Senator Moniz, was referred to Committee Number 7, which returned a committee recommendation that it do pass amended. Ayes, Senators Agar, Case, Nethercott, Pappas, and Scott. Senator Case, Chairman.
Senator Case.
Mr. Chairman, I would move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report that it do so with a do pass recommendation on Senate File 102, Board of County Commissioners Designee Zoning Certificate. Mr. Chairman, there is a standing committee amendment. I would ask it to be read in at this time.
Will the reading clerk please read the amendment?
Senate File 102, Standing Committee Amendment Number 1, page 2, line 12.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. I would move Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to Senate File 102. This was just the standing committee amendment is the product of some discussion among our committee members that had a little thought about if, when you hear the bill, that there's a designation of zoning ability, and we thought there might be a good way to have the first appeal be internal. And I would yield now to the sponsor to maybe finish up the amendment and present the bill, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Moniz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This bill is a product of a discussion we had with our county commissioners, and they asked us if we could help them expedite the permitting process. What normally happens in counties that do have a planning and zoning commission, all of the planning certificates or building certificates are reviewed and approved by the planning commission before it ever goes to the county commissioners. There could be a delay of up to no less than 2 weeks and up to a month, and we all know what the construction season like is in Wyoming, and they asked us if we could help them expedite that by allowing, through resolution, to allow their planners to go ahead and approve those. And so basically, Mr. Chairman, that's what this does. I guess I would like to discuss the amendment a little bit at this time, Mr. Chairman. If you'll notice on line, page 2, line 12, they stroke the word such and then inserted the. And after denial, they inserted any applicant desiring to appeal shall appeal to the Board of County Commissioners. The reason for that amendment, Mr. Chairman, is the bill originally read that the appeal would go to reviewed by district court and then by the Supreme Court. We didn't want to make it cumbersome for the applicant to have to go through that process. The applicant should be able to go directly to the Board of Commissioners with any appeal. Then the balance of that says if that appeal doesn't work, then they can, of course, go on to district court. And with that, Mr. Chairman, that's the bill. I stand for any questions.
Ready for the question? All those in favor of Senator Case's motion to adopt the Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to Senate File 102, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The amendment is passed. We are back on the bill. All those in favor of Senator Case's motion, when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with a favorable recommendation for Senate File 102. Please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The Senate File 102 has passed Committee of the Whole. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 139. Reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 139, Game and Fish Licenses, an act relating to game and fish licenses, sponsored by Senator Pappas, was referred to Committee Number 6, which returned a committee recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Senators Anselmi Dalton, Barnard, Boner, Emmerich, and Moniz. Senator Emmerich, Chairman.
Senator Emmerich.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rise and report it, do so with favorable consideration to Senate File 139. And to explain this little bill, I'll yield to Senator Pappas.
Senator Pappas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. this is a pretty easy bill to explain. What I'd like to do is just refer you first to page 3. The crux of the bill is lines 2 through 7. The intent of this bill is to allow the Game and Fish Commission to set the expiration dates of licenses. Section on license expiration date will now read, all licenses issued on or after January 1, 2018 expire instead of the last day of the year, now will be as provided in commission rules. And the intent of this, right now, if you buy a fishing license in September, October, November, it's only good to the end of the year. The intent of the commission is to be able to, on many of the licenses, make them 365-day licenses. So if you buy it in November 24th, then it's good until the next year, November 24th. And rather than getting into the entire statute and changing the date and the time period for every license, what I'm doing with this particular legislation is just changing the expiration date to be set by the commission. So they may not want to change some of the licenses. They may want it to end at the end of the year. But on many, for instance, the fishing and the small game licenses, they do want, those are licenses that people would like to see. It's a better value for people if they have it for the entire year and not for just a portion of the year. So everything else in the bill, if you look at all the other changes, are basically conforming changes to allow that that the commission set the expiration dates. So if you look at it, you'll see a lot of times the words for calendar year is removed and a season is put in. For instance, because seasons sometimes will span more than one calendar year. Might be 17, 18. So, but the intent is to be able to give the commission the ability to go to 365-day licenses. So with that, I'll stand for questions.
Senator Scott.
Mr. Chairman, I hear the explanation of the intent. Makes sense to me. Would it also permit, in our area, the Game and Fish has lost control of our elk herd because the elk spend a good part of the regular hunting season on partially state land, but it's landlocked state land where a very rich individual has bought up the surrounding ranches and all the access and created a refuge, and he takes a few trophy bulls out of them, he and his friends, but the rest of the elk are protected. And then they go out and graze and everybody else. Could the Game and Fish, with this bill passes, have a segment of the regular elk season for that, so say, in the first 2 weeks of January of the next year, something like that. Would that be possible under this bill?
Senator Pappas.
Mr. Chairman, I'm not too sure that I can answer that correctly without conferring with the Game and Fish Department. But you know, their intent is to be able to zero in on every license to make it number one consumer friendly, and make it number two so that the commission has the ability to be able to dictate the length of the license. For instance, one portion of the law we're not changing is what deals with wolf permits. And so I'm not sure that I can actually answer that question for you. Maybe someone else in this august body could do that. But I know the intent is just to make it consumer friendly for people who buy a license and want it to be, you know, a year long.
Senator Hicks.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, to answer Senator Scott's question, they already have the authority to do that with big game. they can set those seasons that span across years. They do that every year through just their normal season-setting process that they can take care of this. This wouldn't affect that one way or another.
Ready for the question? All those in favor of Senator Emmerich's motion? Oh, I'm sorry. Again. Senator Dalton?
Chairman, thank you. Just to make sure, what they told us in our committee to answer my colleague's question is that initially this is pretty much going to apply to fishing licenses, and that it's not going to apply to, like, carcass coupons, wild turkeys, big game. This is just to be more friendly, have it be online, and let the commissioners figure out the rules and regulations as they go.
You ready for the question? All those in favor of Senator Emmerich's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rise to report it, do so with a favorable recommendation. Senate File 139, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Senate File 139 is passed Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is Senate Joint Resolution Number 8.
Senate Joint Resolution 8, School Construction and Renovation Constitutional Amendment, a joint resolution proposing to amend the Wyoming Constitution by creating a new section authorizing the legislature to require school districts to impose a special tax on property within the school district for the purpose of construction of public school facilities, sponsored by Senator Meyer, was referred to Committee Number 4, which returned a committee recommendation that it do pass amended. Ayes, Senators Coe, Pappas, and Rothfuss. Noes, Senators Ellis and Wasserberger. Senator Coe, Chairman.
Senator Coe.
Mr. Chairman, move with the Committee of the Whole rise and report it. Do so with a do pass recommendation on Senate Joint Resolution 8. There is a standing committee amendment. I'd ask that be read in at this time.
The clerk read the amendment.
Senate Joint Resolution 8, Standing Committee Amendment Number 1, page 1, line 5.
Mr. Chairman, I would move the amendment and defer to Senator Meyer for an explanation of the amendment and the bill.
Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I think we've got something that we're going to have to correct, hopefully on a second reading amendment. I believe that the committee voted to delete line 11 and then capitalize a V on line 12, but I don't see it in the standing committee amendment number 1. I'll explain the bill and then defer back to the chairman of education. I think I'm correct on that because I think we took out the notwithstanding language in committee, but I don't see it in the specific amendment there. So I think that's something that we'd probably have to fix on second reading. Mr. Chairman, I bring this amendment to provide the opportunity for local school districts to basically have a little skin in the game, so to speak. What we do, if you read the amendment as it's tracked in, that it's a joint resolution to amend the Constitution by creating a new section authorizing the legislature to require school districts impose a special tax on property within the school district. And actually, property should be struck out too, but I don't see that one. But we've got a little bit of cleanup to do. But basically, it's for a special tax within the district. And then we say, as provided by law. In my original amendment, I fell prey to a propensity sometimes to legislate within the Constitution. I wanted to clean it up and get it down to where we're just having authorization language. And so how this actually would work is that if it were passed, how the implementation and the definition of the special tax would come back to the body, or we could do it before it was actually passed as far as how we might want to implement it. And then it's up to us, as provided by law, to determine how that special, what that special tax is, and how to provide the implementation of a special tax. And so, Mr. Chairman, that's what the amendment does. The reason, Mr. Chairman, for the amendment, and if you look at the Standing Committee Amendment 24 through 34, that's the language that would go on it to describe to the public what it is. And it basically to require a school district board of trustees to impose a special tax to fund the construction of public school facilities within the school district. Then the legislature could not impose the tax or distribute the resulting revenue in a manner that would create a wealth-based disparity among the state's school districts. So we've checked that box to make sure that whatever we do is that you're not going to have the wealth-based disparity that was previously determined by the different court cases that we've had out there in the past. So all the money that was essentially raised at the local level go back into a central pot at school facilities, and then that would be distributed equitably, so there wasn't any wealth-based disparity. And that's the how that works would be determined by the legislature, but we would be bound by making sure that in that distribution it would be as it is today without a wealth-based disparity. And so really the reason is to get the local folks involved in a manner to have some oversight, and the local folks involved in a manner to where they have some skin in the game. And really, Mr. Chairman, if you look back historically here, back in the 90s when it was determined by the courts that we had to fund the school capital construction at the state level, the cost of that to fix everything that we were going to have to do was somewhere around that $600 million. And now we're up to $3.7 billion that we spent on school buildings. And, folks, we have the best school buildings in the country by far. There's no doubt about it. But at this time, Mr. Chairman, I was hoping that we could actually get some local skin in the game, get some local oversight. And I'll tell you a little brief story about what happened in my local district there, where we had a situation where we had a couple of things on one of the local schools. We had the security issue, you know, so we could buzz people in and have that secure feature. It was lacking. We had a ADA ramp that was about 3 foot too short, so you get the right grade, so you could roll the wheelchairs up. We had another area where we had an ADA lamp where we need to go around and through an existing hallway and out a locker room so you get to the gym floor, so you had ADA there. And we had too much square footage. Well, there's a couple of ways you can go about that. And the school district, the cheapest way for them to go about it would be just to go to the Capital Facilities Commission and say, give us a new building and you fix it all. And because it's free money and it's all state money. And that's about a $3.5 million price tag. Or, Mr. Chairman, the other way you could do it is that you could go and say, well, let's do component funding, and we'll take care of the ADA of component funding. We'll take care of the security with the component funding. We'll take care of those issues that were necessary. And that price tag is well under $1 million. Well, the school district, it doesn't make any difference to them. So they went with the $3.5 million option. And what this would do is allow, when that imposition of local tax was, is that the local taxpayers and the local folks would get involved and say, let's look at the options. Present us the options. Let's see what's going on. And maybe they would have some input into it. And that's what I'm hoping, is that local input back into the process that we've always had in the past. So people could say, well, why would we spend $3.5 million when we only need to spend $1 million to actually fix the problems that we have? So, Mr. Chairman, that's the reason for the amendment. I think it's tightly crafted now. If we get that language that I think was supposed to be deleted, which was the notwithstanding part of any other part of this Constitution, get that taken care of in the second reading amendment. That actually tightens it up even more, and I think gives people, a feeling that we're not trying to do anything, under the table or around the corner or anything. Is that we're doing it by the parameters of what's been set forth in the lawsuits, and we're doing it in a manner that would allow equal distribution as far as what the imposition of the tax would be, an equal distribution of the funds that would come back from the tax. So, Mr. Chairman, with that, I would stand for questions and ask for your favorable consideration.
Senator Bevout.
President
Bevout, excuse me.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On and for the Standing Committee Amendment, Mr. Chairman, and as my colleague from Goshen County was drafting this particular amendment, and I'm on the joint resolution as a co-sponsor, and I remember all of the discussion way back when it used to be completely done by the local school districts, but there was a wealth disparity, and Campbell, too, went a long ways to fixing that. We find ourselves in a situation with a revenue stream, and we need to be very clear on the language we put in, because the Constitution we all take very seriously, and it's really important to get the language right. The only thing that I would wonder about that is on line 29, and if we could fix that. It's interesting you say the legislature could not impose, and my English said that we should have different language there, but that's something we could maybe fix on a third reading amendment. But I would ask the Senate to adopt the Standing Committee Amendment.
Question being called for. Are you ready for the question? All those in favor of Senator Coe's motion to adopt the Standing Committee Amendment number 1 to Senate Joint Resolution number 8, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The amendment is passed. We are back on the bill. Senator Landon.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. I'm still working hard, fellow senators, to track the resolution as well as I would feel comfortable, but I did want to stand and salute the bringer of the bill for simply granting us an opportunity to talk about a very important topic. As your school facilities select chair, Mr. Chairman, I'm acutely aware of the fact that we have no funding stream going forward with respect to school facilities. If we were to adequately take care of our school buildings out across the state, we are probably looking at $130 million plus per biennium going forward. We will undergo some very careful studies over the next interim if that comes about, if we can suggest that and it's approved by the Management Council. Our hope is to really look into that maintenance figure, Mr. Chairman. But that's a minimum. That doesn't count if we ever have another capacity issue, if we never have a condition issue that we need to address. So the fact is, Mr. Chairman, we do have work to do on the school facilities front. This is a start, and it's an attempt, which I salute, to fix a problem that we have rolling in with state-funded school facilities. There are districts out there that literally have to do nothing to support that effort. That's probably not right. I'm not sure that this completely addresses the problem, but it's a great start. So, Mr. Chairman, that's just a few thoughts on this one, on and for the resolution.
Senator Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I, too, am on this bill as a co-sponsor and have gotten a few emails from my constituents back home regarding this important bill. I approve the concept, and I agree wholeheartedly with it, but the concern I have, one of my districts in my Senate district, school districts in my Senate district, comprises of multiple communities, and some ill feelings towards the consolidation that took place some 20-some-odd years ago still. And in this particular school district, there are two campuses, one in a community that's about 45 miles away, and then the major one in the community that I live in. So consideration of those, and I would, ask the body to think of second reading amendments that would address some options for those smaller school districts, the consolidated school districts, because now we've got town versus town. Now consider a bond issue trying to be passed in an area like that within a school district that has communities that basically have a hard time getting along. And so you pit town against town, and most likely a decision from those districts to join into a project might never be reached, putting the project in jeopardy. And so although I like the concept, be conscientious of those districts that consolidated years ago and still have communities pitting against other communities, and this bill would have some effect on those communities. So thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Meyer.
Yep, thank you. And to partially address those concerns, the original resolution had provisions that essentially said that, you had to have a vote of the people, and you had to pass it as far as being contingent upon state funds. Basically, those things have been, and that's where I said I got to legislating in the Constitution. We took that out and comes back and says, essentially, as provided by law. And so what would happen if this went forward is that the Education Committee would take this up. They would look at it. They would address all of those concerns that basically people came to me with, that what happens when you have a district that refuses to implement a tax, or refuses to vote something in. You know, those are things that the Education Committee would look at. We would look at it at a subsequent date, make a determination about how that tax was imposed. There's a lot of options out there, Mr. Chairman. It could be done by the school board. It could be done by a vote of the people. It could be imposed by the will of the body, simply by saying that if you build a school, you're going to pay a nominal tax, and irregardless. And then those projects would go forward without a vote, but I think they would still have some oversight even in that regard, Mr. Chairman, because when those things were being proposed by the local school board to the school facilities folks, there'd be some open comment and some open discussion. So those are things that if it's provided by law, we get an opportunity to come back, have our constituents testify in front of the joint Committee on Education, or and when it's coming through the process at the House or the Senate Education Committee about their concerns, and then they're addressed at that time, Mr. Chairman. So, you know, we wanted to make sure that I wasn't legislating by law, that legislation occurs where it's supposed to, not in the Constitution, but in the committee, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Scott.
Mr. Chairman, as a constitutional amendment, this is a fundamental thing. I would like to make a request, and I don't know how the leadership wants to handle it, but I would like to have, by second reading, a copy of the proposed bill in an informal engrossed form so that we could see the whole text of what we're going to be voting on, Mr. Chairman, so we can be very clear on that. This is complicated enough, the amendment is complicated enough, that we need to see the actual text. Second, I would suggest to the Senate, you know, we had a system where to get school construction done, you had to have a local vote of the people with a bond issue. And we had many years' experience on that. And you could get, if the schools really needed something, the voters, in my experience, almost always voted yes. But when they started to gold plate it and get some things that were unnecessary, they would vote it down, although sometimes they would pass bond issues that allowed things that had multiple purposes. And I'm thinking particularly of the auditorium in our largest high school in the town, our original high school, that was voted in I think the late 20s, and they had a problem paying for it in the 30s, but they got it done. Did the community an immense amount of good. That was the kind of luxury the voters could decide on. And then if it was just gold plating, the voters would vote no. That worked. But it gave us some troubles because we had some school districts that simply could not afford to do what was needed to be done. So I think we need to go back to a system one way or another where there's a local vote, because in the absence of a local vote, frankly, Mr. Chairman, the system that we got with no local vote, no local skin in the game, simply pried the lid off the pork barrel, and we've now had enough time. We spent a lot of money, and everybody's had their crack at the pork barrel, and we have built some very fine, very magnificent school buildings. But we're no longer at the point where we can afford that. We need to go back to the local skin in the game. And I commend the amendment on that score. I would suggest a further standard for the Senate to think about. Is this system that the amendment is going to propose something that is simple enough that the voters will be able to understand what it is they're voting on and why they're voting for it? Or will it have some red flags in there that too many people will say, nope, it's going to increase my taxes and I'm going to vote no? We need to think about, have we made it understandable enough, Mr. Chairman, so that we can sell it as a constitutional amendment on the ballot? Because we have to be able to do that or it isn't going to work. And we do need to do something because we can no longer afford the system we have had, and it has to be a constitutional amendment. So I would urge the Senate to think very carefully about this amendment, and that's one of the reasons I want to see the full text exactly lined out as to what we're going to propose, so that we really know what we're doing and we can judge it on all those things. Will it get the job done, and is it something that the voters can understand, will understand, and would be willing to support? I think both of those criteria must be met before it's a good idea.
Senator Ellis.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I want to thank the bringer of the bill or this resolution because I am absolutely empathetic to the purpose that we're trying to achieve, and it's that concept of skin in the game. I've read this language many times, and I think to add on to the previous speaker's points, you know, the words that we chose to select here say the legislature may require, and that's a pretty big departure from the way things used to be done, where it was driven by local folks making that proposal to their constituents, asking for those bonds. This kind of turns that around, and I didn't know if how we get there. You know, this language would be added to Article 15, as you know. In our Wyoming Constitution, most of our educational finance provisions occur in Article 7. And so I really just couldn't get myself there in studying this language, studying the Campbell decisions, and what some of those fundamental ideas that we have in our Constitution that Campbell hangs its hat on. And so I'm a little reluctant to add another section that's somewhat of a Band-Aid without getting to the root of what the problem is to address this notion of how we start having some more meaningful local control, be it in delivering the basket of goods or in construction matters that are contained in other areas of the Constitution. So I was a no on this because I very much agree with the concept, but I don't think it satisfied my need for further constitutional study. So that was my reason. If someone is bright and can bring some amendments, I'm for it, but that's why I was a no in committee. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Senator Rothfuss.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I'm not convinced either that this language is perfect yet, and I appreciate the words of the tall senator from Natrona County that we need to get this right and we need to see it. I'm actually a little bit concerned because I think I was the bringer of the final motion to amend to this language, and there's actually a few changes, I think, that are missing from my final motion. I believe the committee struck notwithstanding any of the provision of this Constitution, and I don't see that reflected in the amendment. So there's some work that still needs to be done to try and capture all of the concerns. If it's better placed elsewhere in the Constitution, I think that's also worth looking at. Mr. Chairman, the key concept here, though, is, as we all know, we went from a circumstance where we had sufficient funds available to not only maintain our school facilities, but to build them. And as a good senator from the eastern part of the state points out, we did quite an exceptional job of that. We have excellent schools, best in the country. But that revenue has gone down to very close to zero. A few million dollars a year is all we have available to us. Even for the major maintenance, that's grossly inefficient or insufficient. And we need to find some solutions. This is the only one on the table we have right now. The idea of skin in the game really is important. It's essential that somehow the districts be brought to the table in a meaningful way where they have decision-making authority that incorporates consideration of how much it costs to build that school. And the way we do it now, as the good chairman of school facilities would also, I believe, attest to, just doesn't get that done. There's no reason for a district to really be thoughtful about how much they're spending on a school. They really just want it to be as much money as they can get. And it makes perfect sense because that would be my motivation, too. If that's the only choice on the table is how much money can I get? Well, I want as much as possible for my district if they're not weighing that against anything. Mr. Chairman, it's not only the Constitution, though, that provides us access to that. We have our own rules and regulations. We have our own statutes that provide some unintended consequences through sort of perverse motivations where we don't give the districts any say over how they spend their money on new school facilities, but we do for major maintenance and for whether or not they apply to component. To the extent that those don't compete with one another, there is no motivation to spend major maintenance in a way that averts a capital expense. But that is something that we can address through statute. We can address that through rule if those funds are more appropriately distributed to districts such that it's in the district's interest to spend major maintenance to avert capital costs. We can get there. But all that aside, at the end of the day, we're going to need some funds to get through that system. This is the vehicle for that. I hope the Senate will support moving this forward, but at the same time, I hope the Senate will really spend some time trying to think this through, we can do better on this. We can come up with better language, and I think it's worth all of our time to try and come up with what that language might be so that we meet those interests of having skin in the game by all the districts, having local buy-in, having a vote if possible, where we don't really know how we can do that within constitutional allowances, and at the same time provide a direct and clear enough message to the people that they'll understand that what they would be voting for through this constitutional amendment would be funding for their schools, which I also believe would potentially pass. Whereas, Mr. Chairman, if we're just providing a new tax that isn't clearly directed towards that objective, then obviously it would be much more challenging. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On and for the visiting it.
President Bebout.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Speaking on in favor of the joint resolution, and well, I'm a long ways from being a constitutional lawyer, but I thought about whether it should be in Article 7 or Article 15, and I bought into the argument of Article 15, and the main reason, Mr. Chairman, why I liked Article 15 is, you know, under Section 15 in Article 15, it says state tax support for public schools is in that section, as well as under Article 15, Section 17, county level for support and maintenance of public schools. So there's already provisions in that part of our Constitution under Article 15, which is taxation and revenue. But, you know, that's just the way I looked at it and why I thought it was better in Article 15 rather than 7.
Senator Meyer.
Briefly, I sat and listened and heard, you know, some of the concerns that we have. I shared those same concerns about maybe not of all of the Education Committee's work getting in the amendment. I think what we could do on a second reading is get with the members of the Education Committee, come back with a delete and insert, and go to the concerns that the tall senator from Natrona County had. So we would have the language that we wanted all in one page, and then we'd have it together and have everything that the Education Committee wanted to do. And I would say if anybody has any thoughts or ideas or suggestions how to make the language better, I would definitely see one of your Education Committee folks and or me or all of us, and we can see if we can get something that's a good delete and insert, so we're all looking at the same page. Thank you, Mr.
Ready for the question? All those in favor of Senator Coe's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises a report, that it do so with a favorable recommendation of Senate Joint Resolution Number 8, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The motion has passed. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that the Committee of the Whole beg rise to leave and sit again. I can't drop it a second time.
You've heard the motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion carried. Standing committee reports.
January 31, 2017, Mr. President, your committee number 4, to whom was referred Senate File 152, Hathaway Student Scholarships, respectfully reports same back to the Senate with a recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Senators Coe, Ellis, Pappas, Rothfuss, and Wasserberger, Senator Coe, Chairman. Mr. President, your committee number 4, to whom was referred Senate File 146, Community College District Board Voting, respectfully reports same back to the Senate with a recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Senators Coe, Ellis, Pappas, Rothfuss, and Wasserberger, Senator Coe, Chairman. Mr. President, your committee number 4, to whom was referred Senate File 145, UW and Community College Boards of Trustees Chairman, respectfully reports same back to the Senate with a recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Senators Coe, Ellis, Pappas, Rothfuss, and Wasserberger, Senator Coe, Chairman.
Mr. President, your committee number 4, to whom was referred Senate Joint Resolution 9, Public School Financing, respectfully reports same back to the Senate with a recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Senators Coe, Ellis, and Pappas. Noes, Senators Rothfuss and Wasserberger. Senator Coe, Chairman. Mr. President, your committee number 4, to whom was referred Senate File 165, School Finance Education Funding Reductions, respectfully reports same back to the Senate with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Ayes, Senators Coe, Ellis, Pappas, and Wasserberger. No, Senator Rothfuss. Senator Coe, Chairman. Mr. President, your committee number 4, to whom was referred Senate File 171, Civic Proficiency Examination 2, respectfully reports same back to the Senate with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Ayes, Senators Coe, Ellis, and Pappas. Noes, Senators Rothfuss and Wasserberger. Senator Coe, Chairman.
Senator Coe.
Senate File 165 that was just read in does have an appropriations request that it be re-referred to committee number 2.
Without objection, Senate File 165 has been referred to committee number 2, Appropriations. Senator Driscoll.
Mr. President, I move for adoption of the committee. Behold.
Nope, no, no,
no.
Nope.
No, no. Oh, you're going back.
All right.
Hold your horse.
You're not done yet, Senator Driscoll. In more ways than one, you're not done yet. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, I believe that clears the desk.
Well, that's a good thing, Mr. President. Mr. President, if I can have Prejudice of the Floor just for a moment before I make the motion.
You may.
Just to let folks know where we are, we have, as you see, we've got one bill left on Committee of the Whole on the board now. We'll see what happens with committees over lunchtime. Some of those may appear on the board, so we don't get too far behind. Obviously, you know where we're at on Friday and what has to be done by Friday. Also let you know, we visit with the House for a couple of different reasons, one of which the side effect would be that we'd probably get out of here a little bit earlier on Friday than normal, is we're going to start at 8. We're going to gavel back in, it appears, at 8:40, or excuse me, we'll gavel in at 8:45 on Friday morning. We've got some things going on there, so let's give you the committee chairman a chance to plan accordingly, but we'll probably come in at 8:45. There's not many bills out, so I'm anticipating also we'll probably put another. It depends what happens with committees over noon, but that's all on committee the whole is what you see on the board right there as of right now. So, and 145 has the Senate committee hasn't been read in yet. We'll do that after lunch. So we might have a few of those after lunch, but that's where we're on committee the whole and bills. And so we're just waiting for things to come back out of re-referrals off appropriations. The last few Senate files that are in, I noticed that there's a few House bills that already passed out of committees, so I don't know what that's about, but anyway, with that, Mr. President, I move that we stand in recess until 2 p.m.
Announcements. Senator Case.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, your Corporations Committee number 7 will meet tomorrow morning at 7:30 a.m. in Jonah Room S18. We're going to take up Senate File 121, Wyoming Pharmacy Act Amendments. That's Senator Baldwin. Senate File 138, Certified Public Accountants Amendments, Senator Pappas. Senate File 141, Local Government Procurement Notice, Senator Kinski. Although Senator Kinski has advised me that he has some thoughts about that bill. Senate File 149, Continuation of Special Districts Task Force by myself, Mr. President. Thank you. The last bill.
Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, your committee number 8, Transportation, will meet 10 minutes after adjournment today in Jonah Room S27 to consider the following bills. Senate File 170, Unmanned Aircraft. House Bill Engrossed Borrowing Authority for Department of Transportation. House Bill 78, Engrossed Salvage Title Updates.
Yes, Senator Meyer, the second bill you said for House Bill, you didn't give a number. Would you say that number?
House Bill 51, Engrossed Borrowing Authority for Department of Transportation.
Thank you, Senator Meyer. Senator Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your committee number 3, Revenue, will meet at 12:30 after this noon recess in Jonah Room L54 to take up Senate File 95, Early Retirement.
Mr. Vice President.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your committee number 9, Minerals and Economic Development, will meet. And be sure you're there by 12:20. We have a lot to do today. Jonah Room S18, Senate File 125, Permanent Mountain Daylight Saving Time. Senate File 156, State Government Efficiency. Senate File 153, Employment Non-Discrimination. And Senate File 172, Outdoor Lighting, if we have time. Thank you.
House bills or Senate
files? Senate
file. Senate files, I believe. Senator Emmerich.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your committee number six, travel, excuse me, will meet tomorrow morning at 8 a.m., Jonah Room, S-27, to finish up Senate File 169, Migratory Bird Refuge, then move into House Bill 30, Engrossed, State Parks and Sites Fees, House Bill 33, Engrossed, Non-Resident Motorboats Gasoline Tax Distribution, and if we have time, House Bill 61, Collection. Thank you.
Senator Burns.
Mr. President, your committee number two, Appropriations, if you'll notice, has had about a day and a half off. So we'll meet today upon adjournment, where after comparing tan lines from our time off, we will deal with Senate File 140, I-80 Project Master Plan. That's a re-referral. Senate File 155, Bar and Grill Liquor License Increase. Senate File 123, School Nutrition Pilot Program. That's a re-referral. Re-referred Senate File 131, State Revenues and Expenditure Review. And Senate File, that's again, oh, and sorry, re-referred Senate File 165, School Finance Education Funding Reductions.
And Senator Burns, before you sit down, would you just give an update on, you know, the status of the budget, the supplemental budget bill, when the members of the Senate could expect to see a copy of that, if you have that information, or you could do it this afternoon if you'd rather, if you don't have that available.
Mr. President, it's actually been given to me for my review, and as a matter of fact, if Senator Driscoll could meet me just right upon recess for just a couple of minutes, there's just a couple of things I want to double-check with him. And if that's the case, I think we could get a look at it probably either tomorrow or Friday.
Okay, thank you. Any other announcements? You've heard the motion. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The Senate will stand in recess until 2 p.m.